Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. This is Sally L. Cordy, and welcome to Public Advocate. Today is Andrew Wakefield's birthday, and I would like to wish him the happiest birthday imaginable. What he has brought out through Brian Hooker could not have come at a more important time. Right now, I mean, not only has it established from the CDC, from a man who wrote a report that is held up time and again in terms of legitimizing vaccines, be it autism and the link to the MMR or to any vaccine, it's used constantly to tell parents whose children are vaccine injured, autism or otherwise, that they're wrong. Well, let me tell you, this is just terrific that he to bring this out, and I'll tell you why. We are starting right now, this very second, with the start of school this week, school shot. Also, the Ebola vaccine is being trials are being held now in September. I just updated my blog to call it. Oh, somebody's trying to message me. This always happens when I'm on air. It's like they can steal. I don't want to talk to them because I can't talk to them, or I have to cut everybody, all of you off. But anyway, I hope Andrew Wakefield himself calls into the program. I just sent him a message. But quite frankly, I am expecting to speak with two people. One of them is Heather Walker, who called me the minute she saw this revelation, and her children are half black. So she was very, very interested and concerned about this elevated percentage of black children affected, boys in particular. Her son has autism, and he certainly did get the shots in the range when they are saying these children became autistic. So it is very important that we – I've also got Curtis Cost, who wrote Vaccines Are Dangerous. He'll be calling in as well. I don't see either of them calling in. And I think I scheduled the show for 3, so wouldn't it be ironic if the only person I interviewed was Andrew Wakefield? Hello. That would be. But, you know, what else? What else is this timing important for? I have to open my blog because I just made a laundry list of reasons that it is so important. One of them, I recall, is the fact that on September 21st is Peace One Day. Well, Peace One Day is a bogus campaign to inoculate millions of children in third world countries. It is a disgrace. And we are going to start One Day Without Vaccine to counter Peace One Day and their campaign. And it will be held on the same day. It'll be our motto is Cease for Peace. Quite frankly, the war is on the children. And if you recall, we decided not to bomb Syria, but instead to give 22 million children in that region of the world a triple oral polio. So the war may not be on the adults, but it certainly is on the children, and when it's a triple oral polio, it spreads to those who care for them. So, this is so distressing, and so that came in that time as well, in time to enlighten people who are driving this bogus Peace One Day campaign to inoculate children. They have a ceasefire all over the world. Oh, yes, it's beautiful. And the fellow who talks about it is bathed in white light as he speaks, but in fact is much older than he appears because I've met him and I've confronted him. So I can't say the campaign's been called off because of me, though. But I've been after him for years now, and he's actually recognized me. I went to meet with the director of International UNICEF to speak with him. I've been sending him many letters, and brought with me the book Dissolving Illusions, the part that I called to his attention was regarding the polio vaccine, and if in fact they found 22 cases of polio in Syria, you don't have to inoculate a million for each child you found. You can eradicate polio with vitamin C. And this is what Suzanne Humphreys had told me, and I was very lucky to secure an interview with her the day before I went. So see what else this has come in advance of. Let me open my blog at this point. My blog is Billion Toddler March for Survival.blogspot.com. Okay? And I just updated it today, September 3rd. And what I may do is read it to you until someone calls in, okay? It says, I'm quoting an article. It says, human trial of experimental Ebola vaccine begins this week. Well, I'm calling out to all of the pro-vaxxers. They're looking for volunteers. This is your moment to shine because, quite frankly, every vaccine that is on the market now and being pushed in our children are the experiment. They are the trial. So if you're pro-vaccine, prove it. Volunteer. Call the National Institute of Health and say, I'm in. I want to be the first, okay? And then I say the many reasons here on the blog. That, now, mind you, all right, so I'm just going to read the blog. Before we proceed, let me remind you about the biggest whistleblower case in history, which revealed the CDC's 13-year cover-up of the link between the MMR vaccine and autism. Previous blog, scroll down. Oh, yes, okay. Calling for the nullification of the CDC vaccine schedule here. Yes, I did a television show the other day where I called for the nullification of the vaccine schedule, in light of this whistleblower coming forward, revealing this information about the link between the MMR and autism to Brian Hooker and then Dr. Wakefield. Happy birthday. Dr. Wakefield brought it to the public's attention through the Autism Channel, or Autism Media, I'm not sure. I think it's Autism Media. Okay. Although the mainstream media has been instructed to ignore this huge story, it was revealed to those of us on social media at a very critical time and even made it onto CNN's report from independent journalists, although removed repeatedly, but remains now with a disclaimer by CNN. All right. Why was the CDC whistleblower exposure critical time-wise? Because it came, number one, before school shot. Number two, before the annual push for flu shot. Oh, well, let's take a moment in that regard. I have received, and other friends of mine in New York City have received mailers from our state senators, our state-level senators, not U.S. senators, inviting us each, and I've never received these before, to community, I guess, outings, community meetings, community events. I have never known. It's election time this year, so if they were going to offer anything, it would be now. But I've never noticed it before, and I've been running for office. I've run for office 5 times. So, I've been running for office for quite a while. I would have definitely made a note of that. But what are they offering at these meetings? I bet everyone who's listening can guess. Free flu shots. Yes, come in for a free flu shot. Because it's free doesn't mean it's good for us. And certainly my senator is fully apprised of that. And he already knew. They all know. They all know. They're all acting dumb like the pediatricians. All right, so let's see what else. Okay, so before the annual push for flu shots, which here in New York City we are pushing on the very youngest in order to attend daycare through kindergarten, 6 months to 5-year-olds, through 5 years old, have to receive an annual flu shot. Could anything be more dangerous on top of the already crowded 49 doses of vaccines through age 5 that is on the CDC schedule that I am, and others totally agree with me, needs to be canceled. This schedule needs to be canceled. This is our biggest problem. you know. It'll be hard enough for children to survive the flu shot annually at that tiny little age. But on top of 49 doses for the age of 5, this is murder. I hate to say it, but it is murder. So if you do not understand what murder looks like, this is what it looks like. And when the children die, who will be held liable? The only people who are liable, not the only people who are culpable, no, no, the only people who are liable are the parents. So if your child is injured, it's all on you. And insurance isn't going to help you at all because everything your child is going to need is not covered by insurance. So the compensation program, the vaccine compensation program, most people don't even know it exists. And you have to do everything within a very tight time frame if you're going to benefit from it, you know? I had a waiting list of people to interview today. So if Heather and Curtis don't call in, I will feel very dismal because I literally have people that I had promised I would get on air as soon as possible. Oh, dear, this is not good. But anyway, we'll keep going. All right, so it's also before Peace One Day, which I explained to you, and before the September voluntary Ebola vaccine trial. Well, you know, let's talk about what voluntary means, shall we? Let's talk about the H1N1 flu shot. This was offered to healthcare workers and in a hospital. A friend of mine who's a nurse worked there. And she said, over a period of months, this is what transpired. At first, they were offering luggage sets if you would take the H1N1 flu shot. Then they were offering free ice cream for anyone who gets the H1N1 flu shot. And then, of course, eventually you will be fired if you don't get the H1N1 flu shot. And Dr. Tenpenny, I have heard on another radio program, say that 30,000 nurses have quit their jobs to avoid the shot. Now, I don't know what the, you know, I don't know over what period of time. I don't know over what area. You know, so I can't give you more than that, but just to know that 30,000 nurses quit their jobs to avoid it is quite significant, is it not? So, yeah, so these trials, these offerings, will turn into mandates. And moreover, when we have established through the vaccine hoax is over, the article by Andrew Baker, who talked about Lucija Tomljenovic's findings, which took her 7 years and a judge's order to get, that the intention is to give us the diseases they claim to prevent. So they will be spreading this. Let's talk about shedding. People who have vaccines often shed onto others the sickness that they now possess, that they were injected with. So it's not about building antibodies. It's about getting you sick. And so nothing could hurt your immune system more. So you get the virus they're trying to give you, plus you get a whole roster of other adverse reactions. And the adverse reactions are not unusual. The adverse reactions are far more typical than people are led to believe. Oh, it's one in a million, the doctor will say to you. Only one in a million, you know. What a farce. So everybody's allowed to lie to us. And there's actually a bill that has been signed saying that the public can be lied to. Now, I don't know if that's just reserved for elected officials or if we may be lied to by everyone, you know. This is just amazing. This was such an important bill, and nobody realized that it transpired. But it just basically said it's absolutely, you know, lawful to lie to the public. So, well, you know, don't trust them, not because I tell you to. Don't trust them because they passed the law that says they can lie to us. There's a good reason, you know. So, all right, let us keep going. What other points shall I make while I wait for my guests, Curtis Cox and Heather Walker, I wonder? Okay, yeah. So also there, you know, some people are saying Ebola is not airborne, and others are saying it is airborne. I don't know what's going on. I don't know whether it is or it isn't. But I do know that when you inject these into someone, they get it. And what's his name? Sanjay Gupta, TV doctor. He was on air explaining that they're going to take, this vaccine is going to be composed of, and he said it for, I guess, the average folk to understand, that the Ebola virus will be put in an animal, and that will be taken and put in the vaccine. Well, sounds like they're giving the Ebola virus to animals and people. Yippee! So, if it's so highly contagious, what are they doing other than trying to diminish the population? You know, everybody thinks of it as a great big opportunity for pharma to make a lot of money. Well, sure, it's that. But it is secondary to the fact that if Ebola is as dangerous as they say, it is secondary to the fact that we're going to diminish a large portion of the population because it's also highly contagious. Oh, there's something very interesting in the vaccine hoax is over. You know this article? Here, let me open it. Basically, in the summary of the article, it says, number one, they know the vaccines don't work. Number two, they know they cause the diseases they're supposed to prevent. Number three, they know they are a hazard to children. Number four, they colluded to lie to the public. And number five, they work to prevent safety studies. Okay, well, now we scroll down to his recommendations, okay? Americans who have been duped into submitting their children to the CDC's deadly vaccines have a means to respond now. People from every walk of life and every organization must. Listen, this is good info. I have to qualify. In the article, he also says that Obama signed something, an executive order or something, that allows them to pretend when people go to get a Freedom of Information Act literature or whatever, they can pretend they don't have it. So now they can actually say, they can lie to you in that regard too. Yay! All right, so this is what he says we all must do. Take the information from the UK Freedom of Information Act exposing 30 years of vaccine lies, the refusal of the CDC to provide any information on what it knows about those lies, and the Obama administration's efforts to hide the CDC's awareness of those lies, and go to their state legislatures, demand the immediate nullification of the CDC vaccine schedule and the pandemic laws. I'm going to read that again. There's nothing more important except number two that I have to tell you because they both pertain to Ebola, certainly. Take the information from the UK Freedom of Information Act exposing 30 years of vaccine lies, the refusal of the CDC to provide any information on what it knows about those lies, and the Obama administration's efforts to hide the CDC's awareness of those lies, and go to their state legislatures, demand the immediate nullification of the CDC vaccine schedule and the pandemic laws. Okay? Number two, inform every veteran, active duty military personnel, law enforcement people, Department of Homeland Security agents, and medical personnel they know of the vaccine hoax, for their families are deeply threatened too, but they may not be aware of it, or that they have been folded into agency structures by the pharmaceutical industry, indistinguishable from the bankers and oil companies, that would make them agents of death for their country and the declaration of a pandemic emergency or bioterrorist attack. It is completely clear now that the terrorism, bioterrorism structures are scams so that any action taken to protect, quote-unquote, this country using those laws would in fact be what threatens the existence of Americans. This is the most important part about all of it. Right now, we are talking about they're giving trials of Ebola vaccines in people, which will spread the disease. That, the minute, you know, there's supposed to be a certain percentage of the population that possesses something. Like, take autism. A very large percentage of our children possess autism, and yet there's no pandemic about that, right? Well, and considering they haven't figured it out all these years that it was associated with vaccines, they should have been very, very, very concerned, wouldn't you think? Well, the number of people who have Ebola or whatever it is they want to claim would be a pandemic has been reduced. So it's a very small number. You don't even have to have a lot of people with Ebola. So anymore. So these pandemic laws allow them to get away with anything. And a very good illustration of this is when a child was inoculated in her school against her mother's wishes. The mother sued, and she won. And then the health department, which is like an arm of the CDC, Center for Disease Control, which is a corporation, corporations are running our lives. It's not the people who are lobbying the corporations, these agencies. It's the agencies themselves are corporations. So you don't need a lobby. So anyway, my point being, I don't know, man. I just got distracted in trying to clarify that. The whole thing is just so exhausting. No matter where you turn, no matter which way you turn, and the media has done, they've successfully ignored this whistleblower. Gary Knoll said that this is the biggest whistleblowing outing, whistleblower's revelation in history. And when you know how many people are injured and dead from vaccines, to have this come out is just such a blessing, and it is a huge celebration we should be having right now. We should be, as John Rappaport posted, us tearing down the Berlin Wall. You know, this is our moment. And all I can say is when I saw this vaccine hoax is over several years ago, it's been reprinted last year, but it was disclosed several years ago, I danced for 3 hours. I wrote legislation called Ban Vaccines, and I put a deadline on it, 2013, because when you know that the ingredients are poison, and we know that there are ingredients we don't know, but unless they're the antidote to the poison that we know is in there, you know, so they're 100% poison. And number two is they cause all diseases in internal medicine. Well, there is no surprise when you know what's in them. And being injected directly into the bloodstream in the youngest children, could they be more obvious? And thirdly, the intent. You know, so I danced then. I thought we could definitely ban them then. And this, quite frankly, is kind of, this article has circulated more than I can say any other article in the history of always has circulated. So a lot of people are onto this. And I do television shows. Right on the screen, the vaccine hoax is over. And then I list the five reasons why, you know? So I'm doing what I can to get to the television viewers who are the most misinformed, or as I like to say, disinformed, deliberately misinformed. And I ask people also, please go on public access television. This is working like a charm, because every time I leave my house, between 1 and 4 people recognize me from television. Now, I carry banners that say Vaccine-Free NYC or Ban Vaccines or Billion Toddler March for Survival. So at all times, you know the issue that I care about or that I'm addressing. So even if they mute you, which has happened to me, where they aired my show on mute, But nonetheless, the banners said it, ban vaccines, you know? Also, I started to carry the banners because nobody looks at public access television on purpose. People are flipping through the channels, and they'll run into you, which is why I was carrying banners to get people to stop as they were flipping through the channels and pay attention to the issue at hand. But it has had a secondary benefit in that they're trying to thwart me by airing me on mute and having the banner speak for itself. So also they have misnamed the name of my show on several occasions, but, you know, I don't let any of that stop me because it is still the best way, and it doesn't happen frequently. It's kind of rare, okay? But it is the best way to reach people who are consummately disinformed, like television viewers. And I have a list of 20 actions you can take today. And of all those actions, this is by far the most effective because we are educating the people who would have otherwise never have a clue, you know? We have commercials here that I believe are public service announcements. They don't say a brand name. You know, it's Hepatitis B Day. Everybody get your Hepatitis B vaccine today. Are you kidding? Hepatitis B Day? Come on, man. And they'll show you, you know, we would come out with a new vaccine for allergies. Well, of course, vaccines cause these allergies. So they come out with a vaccine for allergies, and they show them inoculating this child. This child looked so sick. I thought, how many times did you rerun this commercial? How many times have you inoculated that poor baby, that poor sick child? It's just enough to make it, it's just... So, you know, all right, so let us get back. I had hoped to be talking about the issue that Heather Walker was very concerned about personally, and she was saying, where is the black community on this? If there's a 340% increase in African-American children getting autism as a result of the MMR vaccine, why aren't they speaking out? So she and I both reached out to Curtis Kost, who wrote Vaccines Are Dangerous, and he's black, and he has been lecturing up for a long time, and he is extremely well-educated. But I asked him a question that somebody asked me on air. The fellow who recently interviewed me on television said, is this attacking the black genome? And I said, I don't know, you know, because he was saying that AIDS is color specific in terms of, and I don't know about this. I'm learning from him, you know. So you said you think it was, you know, engineered to attack the black genome. And I said, I wish I could answer you better. So I brought this up. I brought this up to Curtis Kost, who is an expert not only in vaccines, but also in AIDS. And he also didn't know the answer. So I thought, this is a big question, and it deserves to be investigated. Now, everybody I know personally who is autistic is white, but, you know, what can I say? I know there are children out there who are autistic of every race imaginable, but it is kind of interesting that the preponderance of cases that I know, because I work on the issue of vaccines and vaccine injury. So this is a colorblind issue as far as I'm concerned. I'm expecting to be contacted, as I am all the time, by parents of vaccine-injured children. I can't imagine that they would not contact me because they were black, you know what I'm saying? So I have not experienced an elevated rate among African-American boys at all. And I am open and eager to talk to everyone who has a vaccine-injured child. So I can't help but wonder what's going on there, and I didn't get any satisfaction from the one person I thought might have known, you know? But as I say, this is a very new revelation to know that the that autism has a greater rate in African American children. I want to know more about that study. I want to know how many of the children that were looked at, were they all African American children, so they excluded a certain number of African American children, or was there a wide range of children? I know it went down in Georgia, so I don't know what the answer to that is, but I'm eager to find out and to know if it really is this situation, because I have not until now noticed it. And neither have other people I've spoken with. So it really begs the question, what in the world is this truly all about? So anyway, if there is one group, however, who is in fact got a higher rate per this revelation, where are they? Where are they? We need them to speak up for themselves. I'm happy to represent on behalf of many. I think they should be, you know, outside the White House right now saying, Obama, we demand your investigation of this. You know, they've got somebody in the White House who is black. Why would they drop the ball on this huge epidemic of autism? There's nothing, there is no greater war in the world than this, and everything comes down to autism. Everything comes down to a needle. As I explained to you before, we couldn't bomb Syria, so we are inoculating 22 million children in that part of the world. Okay, take another issue. School. De Blasio is trying to drive up pre-K. That was the first thing he did when he got into office. He said, I want to triple pre-K, and I need funding from Albany. And everyone's wondering, why do you want a triple pre-K? Triple pre-K is being offered right now. What's the big push to triple pre-K? And so he said, I'm going to get funding from Albany. He did not get funding from Albany. And then he announced he's going to do it anyway. Could this have anything to do with the additional vaccines children of that age group receive? Is he really just pushing vaccines? I know the mayor before him, Bloomberg, was, before he slithered out of office, he's the one who proposed and had his health committee appointees, health appointees from the arm of the CDC called the New York City Department of Health and Mental Hygiene, vote. These appointees voted on it. And by the way, I have written legislation. And it reads this way, and it's perfect for the Ebola vaccine. It says, henceforth, all vaccine testing will be performed on elected officials and administration appointees. Isn't that perfect? A lot of people think it should be given to other people, but, you know, they are not answerable to us. Our elected officials should be answerable to us. Not to say that they're not working for a corporation too, you know? But in fact, we are misled to believe that they are answerable to us. Therefore, if our votes actually do count and we did vote them into office, then they should, you know, they are culpable. And as Dr. Langtot says, 80% of people trust their doctors, and 8% of people trust their elected officials. She said they don't realize that doctors take their orders from the elected officials. So, of course, who take their orders from pharma? It all comes down to a needle. So let's talk about, so basically we're talking about driving school up, and that kind of comes to a point, literally. What else? I really wish someone were here to throw out a subject to me and I can explain to them. I know a lot of things start with a needle, like, for example, when a child is vaccine injured and is unable to talk. That would be, if you want, I mean, these children are targeted in Canada, especially. The kids who cannot communicate are targeted for forced adoptions or forced, basically, they're stolen out of their schools if you want to abuse somebody, choose somebody who can't talk. Brilliant. Brilliant. So these children are targeted because of their inability to communicate. So, you know, be it institutionalization or what do they call that? Not adoption, but foster care. They offer families help. Your child is injured. We can help you, but only if she lives with a foster family. So I have a woman I have interviewed basically in trying to get her child help, had to give her child over to the state, was placed with a foster family, and was abused to such a degree, had bruises all over her body and broken bones, and was delivered back to her mother with 3 weeks to live. So, yeah, that was very helpful. They really helped that child. So all I can say is a lot of things start with a needle. A lot of bad things start with a needle and end with a needle. So I'm beginning to think every issue has to do with vaccines, and I wish people, you know, I wish I'd done, my guests were not calling in. I would have had a call-in show and say, give me an issue, and I'll show you how it starts or ends with a needle, you know? Oh, I'll give you an issue. The kids who came in from Mexico, we all heard that there were a whole group of children who were coming over unaccompanied from Mexico. And the first thing I thought is, oh, they're here. I don't know if they brought them in to vaccinate them, but they're definitely going to be vaccinated. The next thing you know, they're all being vaccinated. Where they've gone, I do not know. Where did these children go? The congressman whose district they were in went to visit the facility, and he was kept out. So all I know for sure is that they were vaccinated. You know, unaccompanied children. Let's vaccinate them. So I wish we had other current event issues that people could bring up, and I could explain how it all comes down to the vaccine. So anyway, I will now breathe. Several other things came to my attention. I cannot readily recall them. But there's another thing here. This is written a couple of years ago by Christina Englund, but I found this was very relevant in terms of the Ebola vaccine. And that is that the American Medical Association, another corporation, has basically, here, let me read it for you, okay, has determined that any person wanting to opt out of medical trials, which the Ebola vaccine would be, right, will have to send the AMA a form stating this, or they will have to participate in these trials. They will have to. The AMA says so. You know, the AMA is in charge of us. This allegedly comes as a result of too few people volunteering for vaccine trials. Well, my commentary is very, very snippy, but I'm telling you, I've had it with people. I really have. My commentary is, I can believe this, since people are wising up at least where vaccines affect them personally, while maintaining a blind eye to what they are doing to the smallest and most vaccinated. Anyway, Christina Englund wrote that article basically stating that the AMA, our Lord Master, has deemed that all of us will be subject to medical trials unless we ask their permission to be. This whole thing is just such a crock. I'm telling you. And it's a decades-old deceit. I have written a poem called Decades-old deception or decades-old deceit. I have written so many verses that I have two poems. I cannot find it. It's somewhere. But it is like the longest poem ever. And I'm going to have an event, which is basically cheers and tears. And my daughter and I will perform. She's a singer, and I am a comic. I'm a stand-up comic. That's right. I've dropped it flat, which is why I completely can admire Rob Schneider. How, knowing what he knows about vaccines, that he is still able to make people laugh and possess levity is wildly beyond me, you know? I produced 1,000 shows in hospitals and homeless shelters trying to cheer people up. And now, you know, I guess Rob came to town the other day to cheer me up because I really needed to laugh. I laughed harder at his than I think anybody else simply because I really needed a laugh. But I don't know how he does it. Knowing what he knows and acting like the consummate serious person in his efforts to thwart the religious exemption or philosophical exemption, the hoops they have to jump through in California. Now, there's something really important. This was written on behalf of such legislation. Basically, if parents want an exemption, they have to sign a form stating that they are an unfit parent. And basically, how does this all shake out? They say, oh, I was explained to by a doctor the benefits of vaccines. And even though I know the benefits of vaccines, which would mean that the doctor lied to them because they don't possess benefits. Even though I have been told the benefits of vaccines, I don't want my children to have them, and I don't care if other children are near them. Well, the kids who are truly imperiled are the ones who are first vaccinated, the most imperiled, but the shedding from the vaccinated children onto others imperils other children too. And I was looking at a chart how long children who have had the flu shot shed, and depending on what age group you're in, up to 28 days of shedding, of spreading this. So that's pretty startling. Anyway, I keep getting sidetracked. I don't know. There's a lot to talk about. And, but anyway, so I went to see Rob Schneider, and I gave him my card, which says Vaccine Free NYC. It's like a miniature version of my poster. And he looked at it, and he smiled like his smile was bigger than his face. And it's like, good for you! And I was like, gee whiz, thanks a lot, man, you know. But I really am calling out. I live in New York City. We have a million stars who live here, I mean, famous star kind of people, and there are no, among them, there are known parents who are stars who have children and others other vaccine injuries. But they will not step forward. They will not speak out. Perhaps they fear for their children, but perhaps they could get their sister, you know, they basically, at some point, you have to step forward to save everybody. The greater good is keeping them away from vaccines. That's the greater good. And, of course, everything is the polar opposite of what we've been told. At all times, I can't think of an issue that we've been given the straight dope on when it comes to vaccines. Anyway, I have had a lovely time talking to you right now. I don't know that I covered all the issues I had wished to, but we are running out of time. Happy birthday to Andrew Wakefield. I didn't expect this to be a happy birthday Andrew Wakefield show, but, you know, I'm ready to celebrate a guy who boldly goes where we all need someone to go. The revealing this could not have come out at a more appropriate time in terms of thwarting the multitudes of threats. And I would like to say, let's hear it for shame. The whistleblower, William Thompson, said he was ashamed. Well, it took him 13 years, but where is the shame among the pediatricians? Where is the shame among all of these participants, be it the pharmaceutical companies, the doctors, the nurses? Everybody should really take a lesson from this and be ashamed. If you've done something wrong, and more than anything, stop doing it. Well, okay, cheers for now, and I'll speak to you again shortly. Bye-bye.